Never sit down. Hey. No, I was just coughing. So glad to have all of you with us today, whether you're in the building or at home. We will be in the last book of the Bible this morning in Revelation chapter 4, as Naomi read. If you are just tuning in, you are listening to the First Baptist Church of Petoskey, and you're listening on WMKT 1270 AM and 102.3 FM. Remember last week that we talked about terrible vacations. I thought of another that Sharon and I had had. I saw an ad for the timeshare in Wisconsin Dells. And they were, if you can sit through an hour and a half sales pitch with us, we'll give you $50 and two nights in a motel and a ticket to some of the parks. And so, it's free, all right? So we drove across the UP to Manistique and stayed in a free home that the Coles owned, and they let us stay there overnight, so that was free. And then we started out, and I said to the kids, "Now, Lies, this is Monday morning. I'm exhausted. I'm burnt out. I don't want to go down there, but I'll go if you want to go. Okay, we'll go." So we go down there, and we sit through the meeting, and it becomes 2 hours, and they hand us off to someone else and someone else and someone else. And finally, Sharon looks him in the eye and said, "I have earned my $50. I'm out of here." And so they said, "Okay, all right, we give in. We can't get you through it." And they had said something about our children being able to inherit the timeshare. And, what a blessing not to have put that on my kids without realizing what I was doing. And so we're done. We've got free tickets and stuff. I say to the Guinevere and Jake, "Hey, you want to go to the water park?" "No, I don't want to go to the water park." "What do you mean you don't want to go to the water park? I'm only down here for you guys. Remember I said I didn't want to come? I don't want to go to the water park." "All right, whatever." So, as that goes on, one of the top all-time great vacations. And then, of course, I have had some good ones. Deer hunting is always a blast, even if I don't get anything. I go out in the woods and walking and seeing trees, resting my soul. Well, Sharon and I have walked the Chapel Rock Loop several times. That was great. And then this church went to Canada fishing. We were fishing on the lake up there in Canada and catching fish, and it rained. And we could see 3 rainbows over the lake. They were all about 100 feet away. And I realized what clear air is. We have pretty clear air here, but then I saw what really clear air is. Well, of course, you work all year long so you can take a vacation and get a reward for your work. And so what do we receive at the end of our lives of serving the Lord? Part one. Jesus. We saw that in Revelation chapter 1. Part 2, the great ceremony that we will be part of, that we're studying right now. Part 3, the millennium in which we will rule and reign with Jesus for 1,000 years. It says so in the end of Revelation. And part 4, the holy city. And we are going there. We are making our way toward Resurrection Sunday, and so that's part of the plan, and we will see all the amazing things that the resurrection does for us, that God does for us when he raises us from the dead. Today we're going to study the ceremony that we will be part of when we finally reach heaven. But today we're still focusing on the setting of the ceremony. There's many wonderful things in this setting. I will say this. You know, the more you study the Bible, the more you learn. I have seen pastors quit studying the Bible at age 50 and continue pastoring for another 10 years, but quit studying. What a loss for themselves as well as for their people. So I've been able to see things this week that I've never seen in all of the other dozen times that I've taught through this stuff. And so let's look to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll begin to open the pages. Heavenly Father, walk with us now. Help us to understand what you have for us in heaven when we reach that golden shore there in your throne room. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you will continue to bring us there. We know that you have sworn to, that you have committed to, that you have lived in our hearts and given us new hearts. Heavenly Father, help us to be confident of your zeal, your determination to take us to your side. Heavenly Father, help us to think about now for a little while the reward that you have for us when we do reach your side. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. So in chapter 4, let's just kind of skim down through there again. After these things I looked, behold, a door standing open in heaven. And so verse 2, I was in the Spirit, and I saw a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. He who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius, not invisible, not transparent, but translucent. He had two colors, truth and grace, in appearance. And there was an emerald rainbow around the throne, a rainbow of life, grace leading to life. Around the throne were 24 thrones. 2 times 12 is 24. All of the 12 elders of the tribes of Israel and all of the 12 apostles of the church. And on those thrones I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white robes, perfectly clean now, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. So the apostles have what they'd always dreamed of, crowns and thrones. And from the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. 7 lamps of fire were burning before the throne. Verse 6, before the throne there was also a sea of glass like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were 4 giant living creatures full of eyes in the front and on the back. The first was like a lion, the second was like a calf, the third was like the face of a man, and the fourth was like a flying eagle, the 4 aspects of Christ. These are the 4 angels that gave the 4 of the 4 writers of Scripture the themes of the Gospels. Jesus is the King, Matthew, he is the servant, Mark, he is a man, Luke, and he is God, John. The 4 living creatures, each having 6 wings, were full of eyes around and within, the Holy Spirit who sees everyone always, and they do not rest day or night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, You are worthy, O Lord, to receive my glory, but to receive every unbeliever's glory. You are worthy to receive all glory and all honor and all power, for you have created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Amen? Amen. Let's go ahead and take our bulletins then and remind ourselves, now that we've reminded ourselves of the passage, let's remind ourselves of the original tabernacle. Remember that this original tabernacle is first a history of what happened at the Exodus. Isn't that fascinating? At the Exodus, there was a Passover lamb. And, of course, that has to do with the altar. At the Exodus, there was a Red Sea, and that has to do with the laver. At the Exodus, there was a mercy seat that was created with the, through the tabernacle for the Ark of the Covenant. That is corresponds to the throne that is in the final temple. There were angels at Exodus that helped to give the law of the tablets. At the Exodus, there was a pillar of fire by night and cloud by day, which corresponds to the menorah, as well as the menorah that is inside the tabernacle. There is a showbread, which corresponds to the offerings of the book of Numbers as they offer to make the tabernacle possible, to maintain it. There's a bowl of manna in the Exodus, their provision in the wilderness. There's law in the tabernacle. This corresponds to the tablets on Sinai that Moses was given. There is a rod, and this is the rod of Aaron to prove that he was appointed by God and vindicated by God. There was a door when, of course, God opened Egypt's door. Of course, this is Revelation 3. Jesus opens and shuts the door, and Jesus opened Egypt's door. And then, of course, in the tabernacle, there was a priest, and Moses prayed for Israel several times. And, of course, Aaron became a priest. So isn't it interesting? I didn't write all those things out. That might have been helpful. But as you look at the tabernacle and how it's laid out, it all corresponds to the events of the Exodus, to the geography, the people, and the things that were happening. But it also corresponds to, as we said last week, the throne room of God. Remember that in the throne room of God that we just read about, there is a laver, the sea. There is a menorah, the seven spirits. There is a mercy seat, the throne. There are cherubim, the four angels. There is an altar of incense in the next chapter is mentioned. There is showbread, or our gifts back to God, and the elders casting crowns are gifts to God, and there are worshipers, the 24 elders. Did you catch? Now, I had never caught this before. Did you catch what I just said? That God had the tabernacle correspond to the history of the Exodus and his throne room. That God had the geography and the people and the activities of the Exodus correspond to the elements that are in his own throne room. The tabernacle is what is the picture that we can see on earth. But here is God who is sitting on the throne. Oh, that's right, the Creator, who has made everything from the beginning, who has planned eternity past and eternity forward. It is God who sits on the throne ordaining the history of the world. It is God who said, I will arrange so that the Exodus and my own throne room correspond. That is the amazing and holy and wonderful God that we serve. You cannot take him by surprise. You cannot come up with an idea he hasn't had. You cannot outwit him. You cannot outthink him. You cannot outgive him. You can't do anything more than God. Because he is the king. He is the great king. Remember, in Revelation chapter 1, we saw that he was and is to come. And we saw that he is the first and the last. He was the God who opened the door of Egypt for Israel to leave. He is God who opened the door of Canaan that they might enter. He is the God who opened the door of Philadelphia for that church to win many in their community. And he is the God who opens doors for you that no one can shut. He is the God that is over all authority. Well, let's look at the differences between that first tabernacle and the final tabernacle. In the first tabernacle, we are reminded that the first tabernacle and the temple that mimicked it, sort of, were temporary. The tabernacle was for moving here and there in the desert. The temple was for sitting in the earthly Jerusalem. The temple that we see in Revelation 4 and 5 have always been there as long as since God made them, and will always be there until God moves them. They are in the heavens. They are unapproachable and untouchable. They are forever until God decides otherwise. Remember that in Hebrews, the question is asked, do you want the shadow or do you want the reality? Well, do you want the tabernacle, which is the shadow, or do you want the real temple, which is what we're learning about in Revelation 4 and 5? The second difference I'd like to mention to you today, that this tabernacle is not here on earth. So we can't steal it or burn it or misuse it. Remember what Hophni and Phinehas did? Remember that they took the Ark of the Covenant into war and they said, we'll force God to fight for us against the Philistines because he will have to defend his honor and glory. We will use him like a tool. Can't do that with this temple. Now with this throne. Remember that Jesus came to the people of his day, and the Sadducees and the Pharisees had used the temple to make a lot of money with. They were using the temple to extort grand offerings from Jews when they came from overseas, or from Gentiles when they came from overseas. Remember that the Ethiopian eunuch that Philip met. Remember that he was reading a scroll of Isaiah that he probably bought at the temple. What do you suppose that scroll cost him? You think it cost him $15 like you can get a real nice Bible today at some places online? It probably cost him a year's wages. And so they were extorting people. And that's what Jesus came saying. You've heard it has been said, but I say unto you, this is what God really said. They had been misusing the temple so that Jesus the prophet had to come and say, they have been telling you the wrong stuff about God for this whole time. Let me defend his honor. I can't do that with this temple. This temple is higher than everything. This temple is more powerful than anything. Remember that in Malachi chapter 1, verse 14, God said, I am a great king. Who'd he say that to? His own people. Why'd he say that to them? Because he wouldn't tithe. They wouldn't give him offerings. They were too concerned with their own desires to give anything to him. Too concerned with what was in their pocketbook to give anything back to him and to his house so that he, through his house, could reach the world with salvation. And so it was God who had to thunder to his own people, I am a great king. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 21, what do we read? That God is far above all principalities, all powers, all might, all dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in that which is to come. this heaven, this temple, is far above all, as we said last week. What shall the atheists of China do to that heaven, to that temple? What shall the atheists of ISIS do? Nothing. It is untouchable. It is unapproachable. They can't see it. And if they finally found it and blew it up with an atom bomb, they wouldn't touch it. Because God is the creator. And so that final heaven, the final temple, is far grander than ours. Well, let me ask you this. Who are the elders that are sitting down there on the floor waiting for the ceremony to begin? The 24, who are they? They are Simeon and Levi, the murderers. They are Reuben and Judah, the adulterers. They are Peter, the denier. Levi, the lying thief tax collector. Simon, the zealot terrorist. And Jesus' brothers, James and Jude, who mocked him. They're there, but they're not one of the elders. They're not one of the 24. Do you remember what happened in Exodus 19 when the people saw the thunders and the lightnings on the mountain and they heard the amazing voice of God coming from the mountain saying, "Thou shalt not." What did the people do? What did they do? They ran away screaming. They ran away saying, "Moses, you go talk to God. We can't listen to this. He's going to kill us just by talking to us. We're terrified. We know that we don't belong here with him in this place." Well, what do I see that in that final temple in Revelation chapter 4? Are they running and screaming? They are not. I tell you, I would be. I remember going to the parade up there in Lansing, and I didn't know, I guess everybody else knew, I was holding my little sister Lori at the time, many years ago, and the Blue Thunder Dudes, or whatever, what are their names? The Blue Angels, yes. They came roaring down 31 so they could hit all these little communities, you know, and end up going through Petoskey and Harbor and coming back through. And so here they come, you know, and then we get a boom, you know, the old sonic boom. How many of you have ever heard a sonic boom? You were in fear of us because they make sure that they don't do that anymore. Because I remember you'd be standing outside and thinking your thoughts and boom! You know, I'm sure they caused a few shocking deaths there. People not ready for it. And so here you are in the final temple in heaven itself, and you have God on the throne, and you have the four giant angels going woof, 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 as they fly, crying, "Holy, holy, holy," and there's flames around, and there's stuff going on. And all the people say, "Isn't that pretty?" Because they have no sin. Because they belong there. They know that they have nothing to fear from God on the throne because there is only love in this place. They know that the giant angels swooping around don't hate them. They love them. They listen to the thunder and the lightning and hear the voices. They know that it's all about love. They know that the awesome, terrible figure on the throne is Dad, is Abba, is their defender, is their friend. those giant angels cried, "Holy, holy, holy." But the people do not run away because they are holy, holy, holy also. Besides the 24 elders, there is all the believers of all time. There is Manasseh, the murdering astrologist, occultist, magic practicer, baby killer. He is there, but he is clean. Mary Magdalene with seven demons is there, but she is clean. There are Arab terrorists there who have repented of their sin and now they are clean. There are serial murderers there, like Mr. Dahmer, who have repented of their sin and now they are clean. There are former Nazis there. There are former womanizers there. There are former occultists there. Some years ago, some of you know that I led a woman to the Lord who was married to Satan. She will be there. Guys, there's also people there with wounded hearts. There are people there who've been hurt by their parents, hurt by their children, hurt by the Christians in their church, hurt by their pastor, hurt by their deacons. There are people there that have been hurt by their neighbors, by their aunts and their uncles. And there are people who also hurt others. But guys, when we are there, beholding the face of God, and crying with the angels, "Holy, holy, holy," we will have no time for our hurts. Our hurts will be healed. Our sins will be forgiven. Our past will be gone. Can you say amen to that? We will not have a terrible thing to think about or to dream about or to wake up at night over. Worship, well, as it can now, worship will finally one day completely heal our hearts. Every tribal leader, every apostle, every person there has a great sin that shames them, but all are clean, are forgiven. You realize that many people that moved out west 100 years ago, 200 years ago, were about making a better start and making money and finding a homestead. But you realize that many wanted to get away from their past because it wasn't good. But there were many blacks who wanted to leave the oppression of the South even after slavery was repealed. But there were many Chinese who wanted to get away from the poverty and repressiveness of China and moved to the West. Not the way we did, but, you know, over the ocean. Because they wanted a new life, a new start. They wanted to leave the old hurts behind. And to some degree, they were able to do that. But we will do it completely. There will be no place in our minds for the old hurts or the old guilts. The next difference I want to mention to you is that in the old temple, if you look at your seat again, there are three veils or three curtains. Only Israel can enter this place. Only priests can enter the second veil, and only the high priest can enter the third veil. Have you seen any curtains mentioned in Revelation chapter 4? You have not. Because there is now no male or female. There is no Jew nor Gentile. There is no adult or kid. There is no good or bad. There is no better or worser. there are only believers. All completely equal before the Lord. All completely welcome by the Lord. There is no court of the women. There is no court of the Gentiles. There is no separation ever again. All colors, all nations, all pasts. Remember that we talked about a couple months ago the wonderful story about the pastor out there in California. Then he was preaching in his home language, Hmong, to over Free Asia or one of those broadcasts. He didn't know if anybody was listening, except for about 5 years later. They received a package. He had talked about the Lamb's Book of Life, and they received a package with 20,000 pieces of paper in it. And the note on the outside said, "Sir, please to include our names in the Book of Life." Listening to him, they had to receive the Lord as their Savior. They had been baptized in pits around their villages. They had participated in the Lord's Supper. They had done all the things that he mentioned that believers do, and now they wanted their names written in the Lord's Book of Life, and of course they are. Remember that Britain took over India for several years, and of course India had a caste system that many of those unclean, the lowest of the low, would never move up under any circumstance. In America, it doesn't matter who you are, you can move up in your through the social circles if you want to work. Anyone. But you couldn't in India. Today, there are many churches among the unclean, the Dalit. But Dalit and British lords, who used to be once so high and mighty, will now be sitting side by side and rejoicing in it because all of the former things have gone away. The next difference I want you to realize is that at this final temple, there is no need of grace. You and I will remember grace. We'll know why we needed grace. We will understand sin, but we will no longer want to sin. We will no longer feel dirty. We will come to the true home of God feeling clean and remembering why we are clean. And so that is why then, in chapter 4, in verse 9, whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him for who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord." You remember John and James going to Jesus and saying, "O Lord, we want to sit on your right hand. We want to be in first place. We want something that none of the other guys can have." All of the apostles wanted their thrones and they wanted their crowns. What are they doing? They're throwing them back to God. Because they know that it was God who created them, who called them, who convinced them of their sin, who gave them new hearts, who brought them through the resurrection or the rapture to his very home. What have they to brag about? Absolutely nothing. What have they to feel proud about? Absolutely nothing. And so they glorify the name of God and throw it all back to him. And poor old John, he's one of them. The author of this book is one of them who says that crown that I had my mom buck Jesus for belongs to Jesus. Just belongs to Jesus. this is the vision of heaven. This is not the final vision of heaven. This is just the introduction. This is the introduction to heaven that God wants to encourage us with. First, the vision of Christ. Then a message to everyone from Christ. And then this beginning of the visions of heaven. So that we will know that we will finally have peace. But guys, peace is available now. Because there's a throne in your heart and someone is sitting on it. Either an old hurt is sitting on that throne or God is sitting on that throne. We can place God on the throne of our heart and find that peace now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time in your word and the wonderful things that you put there for us to find as we put this together and that together. And we relate Revelation to this part of the Bible and then that part of the Bible. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for being the Creator God who has designed all things from eternity past and eternity present. Heavenly Father, help us put you on the throne of our hearts right now. Not to fight you any longer. Let you have all the old hurts and all the old guilt. We pray in Christ's name. What number are we, guys? 347. Let's go ahead and we'll stand together. I know we've been sitting a while. Let's go ahead and sing the first and third verse.